Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren, and this week we have Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett joins us. Hello again and welcome.
Hello, Joe, and always glad to be here. Been doing this for quite a while, and I really enjoy doing this interview. And as I've mentioned before, a lot of people listen and watch this, so it's been a very positive thing.
Well, good. Always trying to get to the bottom of things and what's going on there in Terre Haute. And I know we have our first snow of the season tonight. They're saying maybe about a half inch, but it's probably still something to kind of keep an eye out, isn't it?
Yeah, as soon as you get that first snowfall, everybody keeps driving the normal way, and you always have a lot of fender benders. And I hopefully it'll just be that dusting, but it's that time of the year. We should expect that, and hope people just kind of slow down and just be safe. That's always the message, every beginning of the winter season.
And for those that would like to participate, always you can send us a question, news@indianapublicmedia.org, or just a comment that we got from a Terre Haute resident this week. And enjoy your comments as well. You can also tweet us at Ask the Mayor. Well, as we do on every show with every mayor, every week, we still have to tackle what's going on in the world of COVID. And second week of December, Thanksgiving holiday just ended. We have colder temperatures. We have kind of this recipe for COVID spreading, and we had some cases in Monroe County. Despite being a vaccine, the numbers surpassing numbers since January, almost a year ago. So, what are the trends there happening right now in Vigo County, and what do we need to do?
Well, we're seeing the numbers go up, kind of as they are in, especially the metropolitan areas, is seeing a large increase. I guess kind of the bottom line of what I'm hearing is, yes, there's some people that are being hospitalized, but they're not quite as sick as they were before. Not as many people on ventilators, that kind of a thing. So that's encouraging. It appears to be the Delta here still. We're not seeing the newest variants. So I don't know what that will bring whenever it makes its way here. But I think the immunizations, or the, I should say, the vaccinations have leveled off a bit. We talked about that last month, that they were starting to, and I think maybe the news of the new Omicron, or however you say that, new variant, is causing a few people to go be kind of concerned about that and go get vaccinated. I've heard a few people around here even. And then when I was out in the community yesterday saying, I'm just going to do it now. So, I just think we just got to keep our guard up. It's kind of the same message. Nothing has really changed. It's not over. It's just not. It seems to be that people are not getting as sick, but don't take that as being anything other than just that. That's what we see kind of right now. But if you have those underlying conditions, you can get very sick and you could die. So don't let your guard down. Continue to think about what you need to do to protect you and your family, your coworkers. Get vaccinated. Talk to your doctor. I know I've said this 100 times, but talk to your doctor about that. And if the shot is, the doctor recommends you get the shot, then go get it. And hopefully, at some point, we'll, navigate this enough that it's kind of a lower profile flu-like thing only. And we can live our lives as normal. Every time you begin to think that, the numbers seem to go up. I find it frustrating. It's probably the biggest thing I can say, is just when you really are feeling like normal things are happening. And I'm seeing normal things happening, but then you see the numbers going up elsewhere, and then you knew they were going to happen here, and they are. And so our health commissioner sent out some information to us yesterday and just said, the numbers are going up. Start reminding people again, take precautions. Don't let your guard down. Get your vaccination. And I just want to keep repeating that same message.
Speaking there with you and the county, I know there's a lot of communication with the health commissioner. Any metrics for imposing any more restrictions or mask mandates or anything like that?
I'm not hearing that yet. I think the county's kind of made a decision not to do anything, several months ago along that line. So I would say we'll kind of hold our own here on that and keep the recommendations that we have in place, but nothing mandate wise. And you know, hopefully get through this winter season and come out on the other side looking a lot better. But I don't anticipate any of that.
You talk
now,
about
where the federal mandate goes, I don't know, you know, especially for the vaccination part. They're talking about some masking things again. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see what comes down from, you know, Washington, D.C. or Indianapolis. And of course, you know, we'll abide by that. But I'm not hearing a lot other than just discussions.
Any thought about county, city employee type of vaccine mandates or not so
no,
much?
You know, and I kind of talked about this a couple of different times recently. People have asked me, I mean, I don't want to fire anybody for not getting a vaccination. I don't have the, we can't afford to let staff go. We're already minimum staffed in most places now. We just encourage people to do that. If we have to test them weekly, we'll do that. I worry about getting the tests, you know, to be in compliance with this federal mandate if it happens. And we just continue to encourage, you know, department heads, talk to their employees, our health staff that works with our hospital, our insurance plan, talk to our staff. And so we're giving them every opportunity to get vaccinated. And if they choose to do that, great. If they don't do that, then we'll have to deal with the weekly testing in order for them to keep their employment. And I think we can do it. I just worry about getting enough tests and, you know, the internal effort. I mean, having somebody administer those tests, record them, track all that data, that's going to be a full-time job for somebody for a while. So we'll figure it out. We'll get it done. I don't know. With all the court action going on, I'm just kind of, you know, we've got our plans in place behind the scenes here, but I'm not ready to roll it out until we see what happens with the courts.
I just saw a headline at the Goshen Hospital experiencing its highest patient surge since November of 2020. I see statewide about 2,500 people are hospitalized. It was just 1,700 recently. I assume you're still in contact with the situation there in Terre Haute Regional Hospital. And what's the situation like there? Because you have to think that when you get to that point of filling up the hospitals again, that can become a really big issue.
Yeah, Union Hospital, the latest numbers I saw yesterday morning, and don't quote me exactly, but their numbers are up and their basic unit is pretty full, but there's plenty of overflow for the Clinton Union Hospital over Brazil, down in Sullivan. So all around us, there's capacity. A regional doesn't have quite those same numbers. So we still have a lot of beds available. It's just, it is going up. So a week from now, 2 weeks from now, it could be much more of a serious situation on space. And that's always the issue, because if you're sick, you want to be able to get in there and get treated and get you back home so you can recover. And, you know, you've got to have that turnover. We've had that the last few months, but now it seems to be ramping up like it did back in September. And that's what I worry about, is just what happens over the next few weeks as we lead into Christmas, because, you know, that'll be the key of whether there'll be enough space for everybody.
And things are changing so quickly with this Omicron variant. I don't know, have you been briefed anything more about that? Or
you not getting... really, other than, you know, you read things, but I never know what to believe. You know, I just don't. I did see that some information from Dr. Fauci recently said it doesn't appear to be as severe of an illness. Doesn't mean it still can't put you in the hospital, or doesn't mean it can't, you know, take your life. But that's encouraging to me. But based on just loose anecdotal, you know, data at this point, and until they get some hard data, I don't know. You could speculate this stuff every time and get some of it right, some of it wrong. So I just think there's still so many unknowns about all of this, and how many more variants are coming down the road, and do they get worse or do they continue to weaken? That would be the best scenario. But I guess we just have to wait and see.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the Indiana Gaming Commission. Big news in Terre Haute. Been 2 years after the legislature made it possible to choose for the Gaming Commission to choose Churchill Downs as the operator of the facility there. And it's all kind of came, just brief background for those joining us here. After the commission chose not to renew the license of the original operator, which was Lucy Luck, And but that's what the one that the city wanted, I believe, signed a proclamation of sorts asking for Lucy Luck. I know you're just happy this process is over, but are you disappointed in how it turned out?
Well, a little bit, only because I still feel like the best brand to come to Terre Haute would have been a Hard Rock. It would have made the most money, which means the most money comes back to the community. So, you know, just thinking of it from that perspective, we also really wanted that local partner, that local businessman as being a partner in the project, a big partner, and him wanting to give back to the community in even better, bigger ways than he does today. And so a bit disappointing, but you know, when you looked at all four proposals, they were all very good, all good operators. I got to meet and you know, learn a lot about all of them and their operations and individually. So at the end of the day, whoever they would have selected, it's gonna work. It's just different than what we thought was gonna happen because it was, I kind of already awarded, and then the whole process changed and started back to square one. So it's been quite a ride. You know, it's been a lot of ups and downs, a lot of just things that happen that you never expected. And so now at least, you know, they don't have their license quite yet, but they're doing all their things they need to do to prepare for that because they still have to resolve the complaint from Lucy Luck about, you know, the award or taking their license away from them. And before they can award the new one, they're going to have to get that resolved.
I see they plan to bring 3 restaurants, 125 room hotel, 1,000 slot machines, 50 table games, but no other proposal was as large. Could this be too big?
No, I think they've really done a great job. They all did great market research. You know, if you're going to make that kind of investment, you know, you've got to get that return on investment. And I think Churchill Downs, when you look at their proposal, it was really kind of the biggest and the most, you know, had the most features to it, maybe, when you compare now after the fact. And they believe that that's what this market will sustain, and they're pretty, you know, confident about that. And so, you know, that's great that we're going to get, you know, something of that magnitude. They're in a great business model that they have, doing very well financially as an organization. I did not realize they had so many casinos until they got involved in this process. And so they're very well versed in this market size. That's kind of what they go for, the secondary markets, not the big cities. So I'm feeling really good about it. We've had several phone conversations since they were, you know, tentatively awarded the next step of the process. And I think they're evaluating their site location that they proposed. They're looking at a variety of things to make sure that this project is, you know, the best one yet that they've done. And so that makes me feel really good about that's their approach to this.
Have you had an opportunity or chance to start talking with them a little bit, or have they, you know, worked with you on this at all?
Yeah, there's still a lot of pieces that are unsettled and they can only do so much. But they're learning about, you know, just even from the basic zoning and land use and what they're going to need for permitting, just figuring those things out so they know the system, get the right people connected to the right people within their organization. So they're doing all that due diligence you would need to do in preparation of, you know, getting a final approval from the Gaming Commission.
You didn't mention location. Has that been decided yet with them, or are they still?
Well, you know, they had proposed one down by the mall on the south side of US 41 and I-70, and they're still looking at that. I don't know if they're looking. They haven't shared that with us, if they're looking at any other options. They may be. They mentioned at the meeting they would consider the east side. You know, that's a decision that they make, and the Gaming Commission has to approve. Us local folks here don't have any input in that. We can say whatever we want, but they will decide their spot, and then the Gaming Commission will approve their spot. So I don't know any more than that at this point.
It's projected to bring at least one number I saw in some of the reporting we did, about $76 million annual impact to the area. This has been your whole point all along, hasn't it?
It's a huge economic development project. You know, it really is. And when you talk about the 1,000 jobs that are created to build the facility and the 500 or so employees that will be working there when they open, And then the needs from the community for goods and services increases workforce at those locations. I mean, when you start breaking this down, unless you think about impacts of the casino, you really can't think of all these things. And they talk about what these impacts have been in the communities where they put a casino in. And it's just like, you know, this is going to be, it's going to be great for us. It'll probably drop our unemployment rate by at least 1% by itself. But then the revenue that's coming back in, that's the key, that that comes in through property taxes and business personal property tax and their fees that they have to pay for people, you know, coming to the casino, all those things. It's about $10 million a year that'll be a minimum coming back into our community to be reinvested. Just for us, just on our side, the government side.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Isn't that part of to refresh my memory, it's been a while since we got to that point of this whole project, that there was a portion or a piece of the pie that came directly into the city coffers. Isn't that right?
Yeah, so there's multiple pieces of this. If they generate $100 million of annual gross revenue, it's about 10%. So $10 million will come back into the community. $3 million will go into kind of a fund, a local community fund that will have a board of directors that will help not-for-profits and a variety of things in the community. Then there's about $2 million that gets split between the city and the county and the school corporation and our regional planning initiative. And then there's about $5 million that comes directly to the city.
So speaking of community, other community events, I just quick, this happened a month or so ago, but I wanted to get the overview. Police department has moved and it went well.
Yeah, it went really well. So it happened over just a few days and we got it done, got it open. It's just, it is a great project. I don't say that because, you know, I was part of helping get that done, but it turned out even better than I thought it would financially. The location is tremendous and it looks good. It's got great curb appeal. I mean, everything about it is exciting. It's a tremendous project for the city of Terre Haute.
Yeah, that has to be night and day. I've been in the former one, so I can't imagine what it's like to be
in that. It is night and day, yes. We did a 180 on this one.
Is this something we haven't talked about in a while, too, because it's been under construction, the new Vigo County Jail. Any updates on how that's coming along?
Yeah, it's on schedule. The commissioners provided a report recently, and I talked to the sheriff briefly. It'll be open late next spring, early summer. And so it'll take them a little bit of transition to get everybody in there, but I, you know, it's right where it needs to be. And then what happens with this old jail, don't know, but they're going to be in a brand new facility down there with additional services available. So we're all looking forward to opening the doors and putting them in a much better environment than what they're currently in.
Yeah. You know, that you kind of mentioned this too, but you know, we're seeing in Bloomington where a hospital just moved from downtown to the outskirts, and the city sees it as a big opportunity to do something new in the downtown area because this plot of land just opened up, and there you'll have a new or an area where the former jail is right next to City Hall, next to the county courthouse. Do you have any ideas of what you'd like to see done there?
You know, not exactly. You know, I've had many conversations with the past commissioners when this project started, and then with the current, we've got two new commissioners now. I think they're just open to suggestions, and they want to, you know, hopefully by a year from now, they're completely out of that building, or, you know, late summer, early fall of next year. They're totally out. Everything's gone. You know, the 911 center remains in there, so that's got to be figured out. But, you know, that's a great, it could be a great green space. It could be utilized for other county functions. I don't know. And, you know, that question has just come up this week again to the commissioners. And they basically said they're just going to look at it, you know, over the coming months and see what the best use of that property is. So I'll be supportive, whatever they do. But, you know, I've got some ideas I'm going to share with them, too.
Those of you who listened to the show last week, we talked with Mayor Linup about the Ready Grant presentation they were making that week. Wanted to get an update here with Mayor Bennett about, because I know we've talked about that too, that you have a multi-county presentation. Was that something that you gave recently too?
Yes, we just did. And went really well from my perspective. So we had our opportunity to do that last week. And We're asking for about $73 million for over $300 million worth of projects in a six county area here in West Central Indiana. You know, we've done our legwork for a very long time. When the regional cities first came out, it kind of happened quickly for us. We didn't have our community plan done. There were just a lot of things that we were doing regionally, but not formally. You know, it was a lot of informal activity. And so we just weren't quite ready for that. But ever since that time ended of them awarding those dollars several years ago, we have worked really hard to position ourselves for a potential second version of that. And that came about. And so I feel really good about the projects we put in the Ready Grant, all things that meet their criteria, hit all the hot points with what the state's trying to do with workforce development and talent retention and economic development activities across the board, educational component. We think we hit all of those. And so how much we get funded, I don't know, but whatever we get, I'm going to be much appreciative of that. And we're going to make sure those dollars get invested in a way that we're going to see over the next 5, 10, 15 years, see the benefits and the growth that occurs because of those projects we have in there. I feel really, really good about our proposal and just can't wait till they roll out and tell us what the awards are going to be.
And I know we don't have time to get into all of it, but are there a couple key projects that you would love to see funded?
Yeah, there's several housing projects in there that'll have a big private sector component to that I think is important. I think that all of our colleges and universities have a project in there that's going to help with educational components, but also the workforce development component, that I think is something we need here. A new athletic facility with a water park, we're proposing here for Terre Haute Eagle County that I'm really excited about. Two new hotels downtown with a parking garage to support our convention center, ready to roll with that with mostly private investment with that state component. So I think it's a variety of things that are kind of government specific, but then some really significant private sector projects that if we get this funding, they're going to happen, and they just might not happen without that.
And I believe you had a little update with us on some ARPA funds too.
Yeah, City Council last week approved expending just under $5 million of our $36 million total. A lot of that going to the public safety costs related to COVID primarily, quite a bit of that, the revenue loss that we've had in a couple of areas. And so really what we did was make ourselves whole for 20 and 21 with some of the losses and some of the expenditures we've had. So I feel really good going into 22 now that we can focus that remaining $31 million on things that are more community oriented versus just taking care of getting ourselves back to square one in city government. So we will begin meeting again in January, our little team. We're going to get significant community input into the process and figure out what the best uses of those funds are, because we can partner some of that with the Ready Grant. We can partner that with some other grants that we're looking at with the state. It just opens up so many areas for us to leverage that money to make it go even further.
Well, I know we only have a couple minutes left, but I'm asking all the mayors on this show to kind of close out here to take a look back over the past year, because this is the last show of 2021 on Ask the Mayor for Terre Haute. And just to maybe look back, what was the one maybe biggest challenge and maybe one or two biggest successes of 2021?
Well, I think it's a dual challenge with just COVID, obviously, and just workforce. Everybody tells me all the time, we had trouble filling all of our summer positions. It was nearly impossible. It's frustrating for business to not have the staff they need, whether you're a restaurant or a manufacturer, healthcare, they're all struggling. So that's been our biggest community challenge. And it's COVID related, obviously, but not all COVID. So I think there's a dual track there. As COVID goes away, we're still going to have a workforce issue. So we've really got to work on that the next couple of years. We need a bigger pool of people. Indiana needs to grow. Terre Haute, Vigo County needs to grow. We need more people available for the workforce. We'll get them trained. We'll help them get plugged in somewhere, but we need more people. That's the key.
And then what are some of the couple successes?
Successes. I feel really good about our road projects this past year. You know, we completed Lafayette Avenue, did a lot of paving, more paving than we've done, gosh, in the last, since I've been in office for 1 year. Feel really good about that infrastructure investment. And what I've got coming the next couple of years is going to be even better. So I think that was a big success, moving into the police station, getting close to wrapping up the convention center. We've had some big projects, you know, on the table here, and getting those done and now figuring out what those next big ones are. We got an overpass that'll get started in 23, our second of our three overpasses. You know, we just keep moving these big projects forward. Couldn't be any more excited. Our financial situation is solid. We're doing really well there. So I'm just looking at how to spend these dollars we're getting through the infrastructure bill, the ARPA, the casino. All these different sources are going to give us an opportunity to invest in ourselves. We don't need it for the budget. We need it for the community. So I'm really excited about what the next few years hold for us. It's going to be great.
Well, thank you again so much for your time. Do you have any other last-minute announcements or last word from the mayor?
All I would say is, you know, we had our Miracle on 7th Street downtown over the weekend and the parade. I mean, we had people standing 7 or 8 deep the whole parade route. It was tremendous. It just kind of gives you that, you know, holiday spirit, but kind of reflecting on the year a little bit as I was riding, you know, through the parade and just looking around at the people in downtown makes me excited. And I hope people are positive and encouraged as we move forward as a community. And, you know, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and just hope that all of your wishes come true.
Well, thank you again. Appreciate your time. And I hope we get to see you again in 2022.
All right, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you.